I'll begin this morning in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th verse. I can't remember if this is where I started last Sunday or not, but as I mentioned last Sunday, I'd like to talk more today on Melchizedek. As he certainly mentioned, I think more by the Apostle Paul than anyone. Let me go ahead and read this. Hebrews 7:11 says, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" I remember last Sunday, I can't and don't want to review everything that I went over last Sunday, but I believe, well, at least what was in my mind, was the comparison and contrast of the Levitical priesthood with, and specifically Aaron, our high priest, their high priest, and our high priest, Jesus Christ, of what this Paul brings all together. And that's what I talked about last Sunday, and the fact that Jesus Christ being prophet, apostle, prophet, priest, and king, he did not come out of the priestly tribe of Levi. Jesus Christ was not of the Levitical priesthood. He was not out of the Aaronic priesthood of Aaron, that first high priest that was called. He was out of the tribe of Judah, and it says it here. Yet he was also priest as well as king. And we see Paul bringing together that Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Jesus Christ and brings together using Melchizedek. So it's very important. He's a very important character in God's Word, and yet we know not much about him, at least from the Old Testament. Now, I want to go to Hebrews 3:1, and I want to read that verse as I begin. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So we need to consider that. There is my license to preach what I preached last Sunday, what I'm preaching today. Consider, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Holy brethren, consider, and Paul's telling them at this point, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we are to do that. And then Hebrews 5:1, let me grab this. I'm going to jump over to the Old Testament here in a moment. For it says here, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God." So all these things are so plain. They're simple here. Now, tying together Melchizedek and all these other things, maybe not so much, but Paul is so blessed. He was inspired, is what he was, the writer of this, pertaining to God, that he may offer for this Levitical priesthood, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That was the Levitical priesthood. The difference is our high priest offered one sacrifice. It was himself to God. It was accepted. We all know that. I know that if I haven't preached on that in the last 6 years here at this church, I've certainly gone through that. I've passed through that in my preaching of our high priest. Now let us go to Genesis. Maybe you're already there. I'm sure you're well aware of these things. But Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek only comes up twice in the Old Testament. That's in Genesis right here and in Psalm 110. So in the 14th, and I've got this in my mind. This is all spread so thin that I am, as I should always, rely on God to bring this together. But it's so beautiful. But with this, let's get on to Melchizedek here for a moment, because I mean, okay, well, let me ask the question. Well, who cares? Who cares about Melchizedek? You find some name in the Bible. Well, the priesthood of Jesus Christ was after the order of Melchizedek. We'll see that numerous times. I think Melchizedek's a pretty important character in the Bible. We need to know who is this? That Jesus Christ's priesthood is based on the order of Melchizedek, not on the order of Levi or Aaron. So in this 14th chapter, let me move into where I want to go here and set up this scene. Abraham is in this chapter 14th, but if we went through the chapter 14 verse 1 down through about the 12th verse, and I'm not going to, but some of the words in those are, and it's talking about kings. Talking about kings, second verse, made war. One king made war with another king. Then in third verse, we have the word rebelled. And fifth verse, kings that were with him, the many kings, plural, making war here. So this is not a good, I think, of that master. The tempest is raging. It was raging here. Then in the eighth verse, they joined battle with them. And we end up at the 12th verse. So we all know, if I ask right now, in our history, in the history of the world, how many world wars was there? Oh, World War I, World War III. There's a world war right here. All these kings, this was not good. This was not good here. But when we haven't mentioned Abram yet, until here in the 12th verse, it says all these kings and whoever's going to battle and making war and rebelling and so forth. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. So someone took Abram's, if I ever go back and forth, it doesn't matter, but Abram's brother's son, his nephew. Now later on, it words it as he retrieved and rescued his brother, and we know even in the Old Testament, someone's when they say the father of this one, it was really their grandfather, great grandfather. That's the way that this is written. But they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and departed, and his goods. There's a lot of goods here and pillaging and so forth. No surprise there. And there came, 13th verse, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. So then now Abram is aware. They've taken my brother, my nephew, my brother's son. They've taken him. And this, I believe in this, it's just, and Abram's not a king, but he's a patriarch, and he has much power, and we know his family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on, the 12 tribes, you see where that goes, but so he has great, great power here, but so he told, someone that escaped told Abram, the Hebrew, and 14th verse, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, he armed up. I'm skipping some of that. I've got so much to cover, but he armed himself and those that he armed, when he heard that his brother was taken captive. 15th verse, and smote them. Abram was successful. He smote them and pursued them there. Now, and then 16th verse, we're getting close where I want to be, but I'm setting all this. So he was successful, and what's worded, as we'll see in a moment, of all of this, it's called the slaughter of the kings. Slaughter of the kings. He annihilated them. Abram did. And those that were with fought with him. And he brought, 16th verse, and he brought back all the goods. And he also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods. And the women also and the people. He brought back all the people, all the goods. So he had a lot. And the goods will come into it again in a moment. The goods, all these goods that he brought back. I can imagine that scene in my mind. I don't know how many are those people right there, the women and his brother Lot. And so he was perfectly successful in that, in his slaughter of the kings. And it uses that word slaughter in the 17th verse, and one of the kings, and of the kings that were with him. So he comes back, and so 18th verse. And really, just a couple of verses here regarding Melchizedek. 18 verse says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he, Melchizedek, was the priest of the Most High God." Now you realize the timing of this. There's no Levi. There's no There's no Levites. There's no Levitical priesthood. This is Abram here, the father of all of those families, but here's a priest. He's also a king. He's a king and a priest. Melchizedek is, but just out of nowhere, and I'll get more into that in a moment. He was the priest of the Most High God, king of Salem, Jerusalem. Okay. Yes, yes, peace and righteousness. King of peace, king of righteousness. Thank you for, that's exactly behind that, of Salem. That's peace and also righteousness. 19th verse. "And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God." So Melchizedek blessed Abram. Now I mentioned how this great patriarch Abraham, and already we know, I've mentioned Abram's family and genealogy and all of that that came from Abraham, the promises of God and so forth. Melchizedek blessed Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And one more verse here. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Abram had all those goods, whatever he had taken from all those kings and all of that, he gave a tenth to Melchizedek. All right, so that's what we have here in the 14th chapter. Really, 2 to 3 verses here regarding Melchizedek. Now, in Psalm 110, as I go back to the New Testament, Psalm 110, and we know in the 4th verse that this is... pronouns here in the 4th verse are referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1st verse of this Psalm 110, it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord." Well, that first Lord is all in all caps. That's Jehovah. That's Jehovah. The second word Lord is not. It's like when you say my Lord and Master. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. And so again, in the 4th verse, we have Lord, all capital letters, the Lord, Jehovah, hath sworn So there's an oath involved here. He hath sworn, the Lord God Almighty, the Father, Jehovah, hath sworn an oath, has sworn, and will not repent. That's solid. That's solid there. Thou, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou art a priest. So here's the priest. By an oath, Jesus Christ is a priest, is a high priest, by an oath. Oath of God, Jehovah. Thou art a priest forever, forever, endless, after the order of Melchizedek. After the order. And typically it's the succession. There was no succession, a family succession in genealogy, family connections from Melchizedek to Jesus. It's all through Judah, the kings. So family ties and so forth that we think of, ancestry. But the similitude, the likeness, the representation that Melchizedek had to the Lord Jesus Christ as high priest, that's the tie. That's the link there. Now let me go to back to Hebrews. The sixth chapter, I believe. And we'll get to the, I believe it's the first part of the eighth chapter, and the Apostle Paul will say, and the sum of all of this that he's been speaking of, writing, and all of this, he gives us that. So he finally says, well, okay, this is my point. This is my point, Apostle Paul does. But seventeenth verse of the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. There's that oath, that word oath again. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So we lay hope on this, lay hold of the hope set before us. Well, that's Jesus Christ. That's my hope. That's my hope. It's solid. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Says that again. I don't know. I didn't sit here and count how many times that the name Melchizedek was then tied to this whole phrase, the order of Melchizedek, but it's a lot. And then you also have to watch out if you're searching on something on your phone or somewhere on your computer. Melchizedek, Hebrew, is spelled differently than in the Greek, in the New Testament. Two different spellings. And it's already a hard enough word for me, name for me to spell out. Pretty Melchizedek, pretty easy to just pronounce how it's spelled and shown there. But forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now Paul goes into, here we are, here Paul goes into more of a detailed description of Melchizedek, what he is, his attributes, and he's tying all together where I started, that Levitical priesthood could not do what our priest, our high priest, could do. And he's tying it all together. And I know how, I would typically say, I don't know how Paul held it together through all this. And I think about the book of Romans and how he was about, that was about, you know, the law coming from the law and then to Jesus Christ that fulfilled the law and so forth. But the reason he could hold it together is because God was with him. He inspired Paul. He blessed God. God blessed Paul in all this. Seventh chapter, first verse. For this Melchizedek, and we'll see some words repeated that we already know, we're aware of, King of Salem. priest of the Most High God. So we already knew those. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. There's that phrase. He was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And we already know all that. That's all Old Testament right there. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first being by interpretation king of righteousness. So there's that word righteousness. King of peace, as Brother Keith said, which is king of peace. There we are, right there. Paul, he's laying this out here. So Abraham paid tithes, a tenth of all of his goods, the goods from these kings, to Melchizedek. I don't want to get into that. Let me continue. We'll come bring this all together here with Melchizedek. Third verse says, about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So I'm going to stop right there, which is not, there's a period, that's in end of a sentence of the Apostle Paul. So he's made like unto the Son of God. Now, Melchizedek was a man. He was a human being. He was not some mystical figure. I'll go ahead and tell you now, I've read and heard different ministers give their enlightenment. I don't want to say just opinion. I think they feel sure strongly about it and all, that this is a Melchizedek is a physical manifestation of Jesus Christ. I don't believe that. I believe this is a man. That's all we're told. I spoke recently out of Joshua. There was a manifestation of Jesus Christ to Joshua. God, Jesus Christ, knowingly, that if they knew of a certainty that Abram needed a manifestation of Jesus Christ at that point, like Joshua did. Are you with us or with our adversaries? Is what Joshua asked. So if Abraham, well then the manifestation of Jesus Christ would have been right there. But anyway, so some believe that it's a manifestation of Jesus Christ. This is King of Salem. This is a man, a human being. Melchizedek is. And you're probably looking, well, how is this third verse? How does that reconcile then? At least one, if not more, believe that Melchizedek was one of the sons of Noah, Shem. Shem. They believe that that's it. Now, well, how in the world do you reconcile that? Well, if we read this in, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, there. If just that description has Shem. Well, Shem, and I'll cover this briefly. I believe I have time. That the basis of that belief is that Shem, and we all know that those that live, you go from Genesis 1:1 all the way down to Revelations, and certainly no one is now living for 100 or hundreds of years, 900 years. We don't have that. That makes me tired just thinking of that. 1,000 years? Even 900, 100, and yet maybe we'll make it. Some have. But Shem, the son of Noah, he outlived his parents, grandparents, all of them. He had no, so now without, it says, without father, without mother, nor end of life, neither having beginning of days. And also, and this minister went back and calculated all this. We have down to 8 generations of Shem, sons, grandson, great-grandson, so on down to Abram, actually. And like 7, I think it was 7 or 8 generations. He outlived many of them. Shem did. Now, Shem, he's saying, well, Shem is Melchizedek. He meets Abram and so forth. And so it's seemingly Shem had no, he had no mother and father. No one knew of him. And everyone's looking around. This guy's going to live forever. And we don't know where he came from. So that's kind of the basis of that. I don't believe that. I think Melchizedek was just a man. He was a king and a priest is what he was. That's what we're told. That's what Moses wrote in Genesis. So I don't want to add any more to that. But remember that Jesus Christ, our high priest, the high priest, was after the order of Melchizedek. So we have this king and priest coming out of nowhere and then going into nowhere. And we have this. And here Paul is writing all about this. And Paul has more details here where he's contrasting and comparing the similarities and differences with Jesus Christ and Melchizedek. He's already covered the differences of the Levitical priesthood and Christ. They offered sacrifices daily and annually and so forth. They had to atone for their sins, and they had to sanctify themselves, the temple and all. Christ did not have to atone for any sins. He had none. So our high priest is perfect and better without, he's spotless. So let me get back to the fourth verse here and move on. Now consider, is that word consider again? Now consider how great this man was. Melchizedek, this man, consider how great he was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham, point I've already made, gave the tenth of the spoils. So consider how great a man this Abraham was. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, coming out of the loins of Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi, and verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood. I told you last Sunday, the tribe of Levi, they are the tribe of the priests, the priesthood. That's it. Someone from the tribe of Judah or Dan, someone else. I feel like I'm over to the Levitical tribe and, I feel like I have a calling to be a priest and all. Wasn't going to happen. It was only that tribe, that lineage, that family. One high priest died, they got another one from that. It's laid out. God would not have had that. Wouldn't have worked. So who knows if that anything like that ever happened. Doesn't matter. Who received the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Let me read this and then I'll come back and comment. Sixth verse. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham. That's Melchizedek. Abraham gave tithes, a tenth of all the spoils, to Melchizedek. And yet he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes. Melchizedek was not of the tribe of Levi. It didn't exist yet. Didn't exist yet, that tribe. I guess you could say Abraham is the representative of that family. He's certainly that patriarch, as we have in Scripture here. And blessed him that had the promises. Melchizedek blessed Abram. He blessed him. This is all going to come together in a moment. that had the promises. Certainly Abraham had those. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Abram was less than Melchizedek. So this great patriarch, he just slaughtered kings, all these people, taking all their goods, and he's greater. I mean, he is a great man. It even says that, of the Most High God. Melchizedek acknowledged that. And yet, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek blessed Abram. And the reason for that, if you're wondering about this tithing business, and many churches, denominations still tithe. They say, okay, you give a tenth of I guess, whatever you make, or I don't know how they calculate it. But and we give what is within our heart to give to the church financially. We know there's expenses. So anyway, but we give here in the law and so forth. So, and I won't go back to those verses in the Old Testament. There are verses that show, okay, Levi, your tribe, that tribe, they got no land. They didn't get any land. Now, they got cities and so forth and all, but they didn't get an inheritance of land, Canaan's land. Yeah, they were to receive tithes from all the other tribes. And that's what they, and yet, so now though, wait a minute, this is backwards. Abraham, you might say the representative, Levi, in the Levitical tribe, is paying tithes to Melchizedek. That's the great, and then Melchizedek blesses him. He's the greater. This all, and it's all points to Jesus Christ, our high priest here. All of it does. Eighth verse. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes, what I just said, paid tithes in Abraham. It's as if Levi paid tithes. God wrote in Leviticus, I believe it was, wherever it is, that all the other tribes pay tithes to Levi. But here, Levi is paying tithes to Melchizedek. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Brings out exactly everything I've said so far right there. We see this laid out. So it shows this relationship here, Melchizedek and this Levitical priesthood. So forth. Then in the we'll go back to the 11th verse again, as Paul's bringing this together. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Even now you might be sitting at home or driving in your car and think, well, yeah, why did Jesus not, why didn't God not just have Jesus come out here of the tribe of Levi and so forth? This brings all this together for us. Consider this. And then he goes into it here. 12th verse. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Already said that Jesus Christ came out of this tribe of Judah. He is a king. He was a king here. And he was a high priest. He's an apostle and a prophet. So it's evident of that, that the Lord sprang out of Judah. Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So Paul's saying, yeah, we'd say Paul was admitting, he was acknowledging. I understand that Moses said nothing about this. Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. All this fits together. And I mean, by this time, the Apostle Paul was an outcast. Concerning the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all. And yet, you remember where Paul came from. He was persecuting the church. And now we see, wrote most of the New Testament, I'd venture. So after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, Jesus Christ, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. After the power of an endless life. So we see this endless life. Melchizedek, Lot, the similitude of him, the likeness, that representation that Melchizedek had. Jump down to the 21st verse as I move forward, and I will head toward some sort of an ending. 21st verse. For those priests were made without an oath. The priests in the Levitical priesthood from Aaron on down, it's all family. It's a tribe of Levi. It's that genealogy. That's how they were priests, because God laid that out for them. But this made without an it says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Apostle Paul is hammering this business here. He's hammering it over and over and pointing to Melchizedek, which all the Jews were aware of. They're aware of Melchizedek. And so the Lord swear. He swear an oath. God did. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He's coming into this better testament, better covenant, better hope. It's all Jesus Christ. And we are partakers of that. We are now. We certainly, then, if that's the case, then, if we're partakers of that, and Jesus Christ is our high priest, then we should certainly be willing to be disciples to our high priest, Jesus Christ. We should be disciples, followers. I may choose not to be a disciple, to follow Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I'm no longer a child of the Lord God Almighty, and that Jesus is not my high priest. He is. This is a surety. He is our surety. That's solid there. But I don't know what my life would look like had I left trying to struggle to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Master. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. The Levitical priest, of course they died. They died. They didn't have an endless life. They knew beginning of days and ending of days. They kept track of that too. They knew who weren't in the tribe of Levi. So they died, another one take their place. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The antitype, Jesus Christ, is perfect. The type, Melchizedek, and all those other types, Joseph, whoever it is, the types that pointed to Jesus Christ were not perfect. There were things, okay, that doesn't really fit. Number one, you just put at the very top, sin. Sin, they were sinners, all those types of Jesus. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want Jesus Christ. I want him to be my intercessor. And it's not a wish. It's not really a want. It is a fact that he is making intercessions for me. And the Levitical priesthood, and I haven't, don't believe I'll go through that, but they, being priests and all, they were, they had the same traits as men. They were men. They were sinners. And we see from the point that I read in Genesis 14, and then this priesthood was set up there, Leviticus and so forth, that there over to Malachi, that the priesthood, we saw their sinfulness and their iniquities. We saw it. So no different today. No different today. That should prove to us not to put anyone on a pedestal for any reason. Make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, Levitical priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Our high priest did not offer multiple times. He certainly didn't offer sacrifices for his sins. He didn't have to atone for his sins. He was anointed. That's what Christ means, the anointed one. And we can read over in 1 John, those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, our high priest, are born of God. They are born of God. Not if you believe that you will be born of God. No, that's not the order. You already do. He offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, Jesus Christ. Now, I will, let me close with the 8th chapter, the 1st verse. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. And Paul said a lot more than I have. He had, but this is a letter, epistle, of course. But so this is the sum. We have, so if you want to start listening now, this is the sum of all of this. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, because his sacrifice was accepted. Jesus was accepted because he was perfect. So in God's mercy and grace, still demanding justice, he demanded justice. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord demanded justice there, and he got it. And yet, through his mercy, even knowing back when he chose us, he knew that he had to provide the sacrifice because we had none. Levites certainly didn't have any. Melchizedek, as a priest, we don't know. We don't know what he did in his priesthood. He didn't have it. But Jesus Christ, God through his mercy gave us that and his grace. Now, at the time, go back to Genesis, is it the 3rd chapter? That when at the fall of Adam, that plunged us into the need of all of this. Then, once he broke that law, and now he brought sin that by one man sinned into the world. That was Adam. Adam needed a high priest then. He wasn't alone. He had a high priest in Jesus Christ. That's a mercy. Adam just broke. This eternal law of the Lord God, Jehovah. And immediately, he had a high priest. He had someone interceding for him, making intercessions in heaven, the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus has no beginning of days or end of days. No, he's eternal in the heavens. He is set at the right hand of the majesty on high, interceding, making intercessions for us. I don't know how long Jesus will have to make intercessions for me. Certainly, our bodies are just ravaged with sin, causing our death. Wages of sin is death. But he's interceding on our behalf. And you think, well, the Levitical priest, They made intercessions for the Levites, the Jews, Israel, and they knew, they understood personally, because they were of the same sin and iniquities as the people. So they had, I believe those priests had compassion on the people, and they offered for the sins, all these sacrifices, how much blood, how many innocent animals shed their life and their blood for these sacrifices by the law. Jesus Christ, being our high priest, then he's interceding for us. He's there. He also, and we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Chapter 4, Hebrews, I believe. So he is touched with the feeling. He knows as well as the Levitical priest did, but without sin. He knows. Don't ever think God is so high. Jesus is so high. He's my King. He is God. That he just doesn't know. He doesn't understand. Thank you, Lord, but you don't understand. Oh, he does. He knows. And I tell you what, we get a sign of that. We get a feeling of that and assurance of that. When we go through, we're experiencing something and we realize, my high priest making intercessions for me and my redeemer, there's no way that had he not known what I'm going through that he could have relieved me of this. He had to know, and he knew exactly when. And maybe one day I will have the need of a fleshly manifestation of my Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know. I felt like in the past maybe I needed him, but no, he saved me anyway in those things. But you go to your high priest. You fall down to your high priest. You continue serving your God and the Lord Jesus Christ in your lives. We will be blessed for that through the grace and mercy of God. May the Lord bless and keep you. We will sing a song and open the doors of the church for membership.